5 o'clock in the morning, middle of winter, from Johannesburg.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
This week we have an exclusive offer for all of you. A free bike fit, courtesy of MyVeloFit. And you won't even need to leave the comfort of your own home to do it.
Sounds good. We're also talking about how the bike industry needed to make this bike, the Canyon Endurace Allroad. But why it also still needs to make bikes like this.
We'll also have more tech news, like this drop-dead gorgeous new Orbea, a new group set from Shimano, plus Tom Pidcock strutting his stuff at 100k an hour. And actually more besides that as well. This week in the world of cycling, we learned that the UCI have listened to GCN, I expect. Instead of rolling out another ban, their latest eyebrow-raising initiative on making racing safer is going to be tested first.
And just as well, because it's also proving controversial too. Banning big gears by limiting gear ratios. 54-11 on Shimano and Campagnolo, but SRAM athletes could potentially be stuck with 48-10, which shows that the proposed rule is crude, to say the least.
Yes. Now, meanwhile, one thing we didn't learn this week was how well Dan got on in his 370-kilometre Manchester to London bike ride, what would have comfortably been, or uncomfortably, I guess, his longest ever ride by quite some way.
He didn't show up for yesterday's Racing News show. He's not here today. Plus, we did get a message from GCN viewer, Carol Thompson, pointing out that his live tracking link unmistakably showed that he was on a train track rather than a road.
You know what? I would not put it past him. He is one wily dude, Dan Lloyd. So anyway, we will have a full video explaining all, not this weekend, but next. So stay tuned for that. Now, finally, we learned that in a week when Canyon launched their most affordable drop bar bike, the Endurace Allroad, at €999, at the other end of the spectrum, Parley have released a bike costing $30,000.
Tariffs?
That's made in America, isn't it? Although perhaps the Campagnolo group set has been hit. And that's more expensive now.
Jokes aside, this is the new Z0 and it looks phenomenal.
Yeah, outrageous, isn't it? Now, you know what, right? I am genuinely pleased that both these bikes exist, which I know is an opinion that some people might struggle with, right? But I think it is perfectly possible for cycling to have super premium and more affordable bikes. And not only that, it should have both.
As we said, this is Canyon's newest bike, and at €999, their cheapest drop bar bike. However, there's nothing cheap about the spec. They have managed to get a full Shimano 2x10Q group set on there, complete with hydraulic discs, and it serves as both a road and gravel bike.
Yeah, I said in the video I made about it last week that it made me happy. Judging by the reaction it's got in the comments section, it's the bike that you lot are happy to see as well. Now, what's going to be interesting, Connor, really interesting, in fact, actually, is how well it's going to sell and, furthermore, whether it encourages more of the big brands to follow Canyon's lead on this one.
Yeah, one of our reasons for liking this bike is that it potentially stops cycling being quite so off-putting to prospective new riders. As pointed out in the comments, yes, you buy second-hand bikes for little more than loose change, and we're all for that, but there are lots of people who don't want to run the risk of pedaling a knackered old bike, in much the same way that super cheap cars are great for some people, but not attractive to many others.
No. I think it's quite a good analogy, that one, actually, isn't it? Now, we have to give people legitimate and appealing options, don't we, for getting into bikes. But you know what would help as well, I think? For me, racing is a really important part of cycling. And I know it's for lots of people, it's not a part of cycling they do, but it's really important, I think, particularly for getting kids in. And so I want the national governing bodies to get behind entry-level bikes being used in competition to equal the field out.
Maybe the UCI could approve certain bikes based on their price tags as opposed to whether they have narrow enough handlebars and shallow enough wheels. Authorised for under 18s racing, potentially, something similar to that.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah,
it'd be proper
cool,
wouldn't it? And as a kid, if you had that bike, you could then still optimise it and upgrade it, couldn't you? Make it look cool, just perhaps with some restrictions, like no carbon fibre being the obvious one.
UCI bans carbon fibre. Imagine how much Pritchett would be. That would just that would do his nut in, wouldn't it?
It would. I mean, I think the UCI should do that just for the bands, shouldn't they? Just we could have like a live camera in the GCN studio in the moment where the UCI released that information and Ollie Bridge was just sat there like... Anyway, I was actually chatting with a couple of mates at the weekend who are runners, and they have been runners for a long time, and they were having a little moan about the premiumisation of running. So super expensive trainers, carbon soled trainers, particularly the kind of one hit race day only ones. Plus, worse than that, like 75 quid premium running vests that do the same job as 15 quid running vests, but are obviously better because they're more expensive. And do you know what? It made me feel a little bit better that it's not just cycling that's got this issue of premiumisation. But as we said, I do like the fact that cycling has got bikes that are so expensive as to be almost unobtainable. They're just that exclusive. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess like cycling is a sport where for a lot of people, at least, some of the joy comes from the bike itself, whether it's lusting after a handmade artisan bike or cutting edge, you know, aero-optimised carbon fibre race rigs. You can pretend to be Matthew Van Der Poel.
Are you looking at me when you say that?
I was trying not to look at you, but I kind of watched.
Yeah, all right, okay.
Even though you're old enough to know better. Anyway, it also might be how much you could upgrade your current bike to make it feel nicer, ride faster, be more comfortable, or just simply look cooler.
Yeah, I agree with the second part of that statement. I think we need to embrace the fact that cycling can and should be both affordable and fun, plus super premium as well, right?
Yeah, let us know in the comment section what more affordable bikes and kit you'd like to see next. Clothes, shoes, group set?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be super interested to read your comments, actually. And yeah, how you feel about that sort of like polarisation, both affordable and super premium. Right, we've made you wait. We are now going to lift the lid on just how you can get this free bike fit.
Yeah, bike fitting is another aspect of cycling, which, while not super expensive, is typically a fair chunk of cash.
Yeah, now for many, it's money well spent, right? But an app called MyVeloFit is trying to make it accessible to virtually everyone.
Yeah, using your phone to record video and a static bike or an indoor trainer to ride on. It uses software to work out your flexibility, biometrics and biomechanics when riding to ascertain detailed fit advice for bike sizing, comfort and performance for road, gravel, triathlon, time trials, mountain bike, whatever you want, basically.
Yeah, now when they got in touch with GCN initially, I was sceptical, I'm not going to lie. I feel that the bike fit industry has some incredible people working within it, but it's also largely unregulated. And I don't know, call me a cynic, but I think there are one or two self-proclaimed gurus who have quite dubious knowledge bases. So anyway, well, we were sceptical, but we gave it to our chief sceptic and carbon fibre aficionado, Dr. Bridgewood, to check out. And you know what? He pronounced himself to be really quite impressed.
Yeah, he tried to trick it by putting his saddle up by 10 mil and it told him that his seat was too high. Then he needed to drop it by 10 mil.
There you go. I mean, that's quite accurate, isn't it? Yeah. Dan also jumped on it and he tweaked his position ever so slightly as well. We're talking like between 5 and 10 mil, which is kind of accuracy that it needs to be working at. So anyway, because of this, here we are running a promotion with them, because we think it's good.
There are three tiers in the app. So a basic free version, which gives you access to a pre-bike buying fit to help you choose a new bike, and then more feature-rich tiers above it with detailed fit breakdowns and the ability to have multiple different bike profiles on one account.
Yeah. If, however, you use the URL that we've supplied in the description below, new users, it's new users only, I'm afraid, simply need to sign up through that URL, then you will automatically gain access to one free set of specific fit results, which includes Joy Tangles and fit recommendations.
We'll be running this for 2 weeks after the release of the show, which is the 24th of June, 2025.
Yeah. Now, I maintain, Connor, that not everyone needs a bike fit. It is perfectly possible to dial in a perfect position without one, but it's got to be said, lots and lots of people either don't have the time to experiment or they still have issues with pain that they can't eliminate, or they just want to worry about it. So for those people, this is definitely worth checking out.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
Cycling shorts now, and we're going to start with some smoking hot tech. Orbea have just launched their second new gravel bike in the space of a week. The first was a new version of the Terra, which has got a little bit more adventure focused. Today, it is the Terra Race.
Oh, wow. Be still my beating heart.
Yeah, totally. Right, this bike is one sexy bit of kit, isn't it? I mean, the idea is that it is a bike for super fast race-oriented gravelers with a riding position that mimics that of their venerable Orca road bike. So it's pretty low at the front, it's very fast, and it's very agile.
It's also paired back with no gubbins attachment points, which, I'll mourn, but I see why this is the case. And it's also got a super light, top-of-the-range OMX layup. The frame comes in at 910 grams.
Yeah. Do you know what? Your reaction to the lack of gubbins mounting points just showcases, right, the need to have more than one gravel bike option in range. Because it's got to keep people like Connor happy, who want to take the kitchen sink with them. And then it's also got to keep people like me happy, who don't want the kitchen sink with them, yeah, nor any way of attaching it to their bikes. So there you go. Anyway, we've got a full video up on GCN Tech about that bike if you want to, frankly, perv out a little bit longer than we've allowed you.
More tech here too. Now, though, we had news of 6 new group sets last week. We've got another one this week as well.
Yeah, and it's another big one as well, isn't it? So Shimano have launched their first completely wireless drop handlebar group set. That's group set in inverted commas, isn't it? It's the GRX RX827.
We say group set is technically just the wireless rear derailleur, but what is cool is that it works with the current DI2 GRX levers, so as well as shipping fitted to new bikes, Shimano suggests that anyone can upgrade their current bike to wireless with minimal changes.
Yeah, I'm impressed with that. Mm. And not only that, Shimano are at great pains to point out that this derailleur fits on any bike with a conventional derailleur hanger, so you won't need a new frame to fit it on because it doesn't require UDH.
The derailleur takes features of the recently released XTR, XT and Dior mountain bike group sets that were announced in recent weeks. So it has a removable and neatly integrated battery with up to 1,000 kilometres of battery life.
Yeah, and then the derailleur has also been designed to shrug off rock strikes, they say, with some neat design features and automatic impact recovery system.
That sounds like something Alex needs.
Oh, yes. That slightly squelchy noise.
I know.
Kind of makes me shudder, that, doesn't it? Yeah.
Anyway, cool derailleur. Very cool that it pairs up to the current shifters. It also uses a Shimano mountain bike cassette at the back, so 1051, which is a first for Shimano's gravel offerings.
Yeah, and then lastly, because it's one by only, there's also a new left-hand lever option, which does away with the shift levers, because you've got no front derailleur, but it's otherwise the same.
Given that you can use Shimano's eTube app to customise what the shift buttons do, I wouldn't be in a hurry to get rid of them, though. You can connect your head unit to them, and so in the case of Wahoos, your shifters can then serve as remote buttons to operate basically every function on the device.
Yeah, apart from the touchscreen.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that was quite obvious, I suppose.
Price-wise, what are we talking, Si?
I don't actually know. I was still waiting for an email. bear with, to see if it's come through yet. Anyway, we might find out near the time. Perhaps we could put a caption on the screen for you. But anyway, that's 7 new group sets in just over a week. One brand who has basically been silent in this period of time is Microshift. Now, they make a lot of the more popular entry-level group sets. However, Connor, I spotted in the news yesterday that they have just announced they've invested in a new manufacturing facility in Taiwan and a new logo as well.
I did enjoy reading the thinking behind the new logo. At first glance, you might think it's their name in capitals, but oh no, according to Microshift, the bold uppercase typography and energetic design symbolise innovation, performance, and a progressive mindset.
I love fonts, Connor. Strange, but true. I genuinely could spend hours talking about stuff like this, right? Obviously behind closed doors. I'm not sure that this kind of pretentiousness needs to be shared publicly.
You're going to use
because
a different word.
Well, there. I mean, it does. It just sounds isn't it, basically, yeah.
No, but potentially big things are coming up for them too, methinks.
Yes.
Now, someone who's just ditched their gears is Jack Thompson, the Australian endurance specialist. He's announced his latest plan, which is to follow the route of the original Tour de France from 1903, which is just six stages, but totalling 2,428 kilometres.
Yeah. The Tour de France was a rather different beast in those days, wasn't it? In fact, it reminds me a little bit more of what GCN En Francais presenter Max has just done in the last week, which is the race across France, which was one stage but 2,600 kilometres, and it truly was a race, across France, back up a little bit again, and then back down some more.
Across a lot of mountains too.
Yeah, it was wild. I'm looking forward to watching that, dusting off my French skills. Maybe just using the subtitles. Anyway, to add to Jack's challenge, he's decided to use the same gears as the original bikes. Although this means in reality that he is still using DI2, I noticed, but he is limited to shifting between 48-17 and 35-17.
On his modern bike?
Yes.
Still a big undertaking, even on a modern bike, and using AI to generate a route that mimics the original, but using the road network that exists today?
Yes, using AI, he said. I assume he means Komoot. I can't imagine how you could harness the power of AI in any other way to go from A to B. But anyway, he also apparently used AI to calculate his gear ratios. I don't know what kind of AI that is, but I suspect it's quite basic. But anyway, best of luck to Jack. It sounds like a lot of fun, and I will actually be very intrigued to know how he gets on, because that's pretty wild, isn't it?
Yeah, Mark Beaumont and Hank recreated the first stage of that first tour on original bikes in period collect clothes for a GCN film a few years back, so definitely worth checking out.
Yeah.
Have you got a moment?
Not trying to say that they did it properly, but, you know.
Slightly.
No, it's a different ballgame, isn't it? I don't think they would have been happy doing stages 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 after that stage 1.
No.
They were pretty buckled, weren't they?
I still hear about them talking about it today.
It was a sunburn that got Hank on it through his woolly jersey. Oh, poor chap. Time now for Hack /Bodge of the Week. It's that part of the show where we ask you to submit your incredibly funny photos or videos. Actually, they don't have to be funny. They could just be good as well, of hacks and bodges that you've either made or seen. This one is one of the more intriguing ones we've ever had. This is sent in by Will. It's called Pain au Vélo. We required a lunch stop on top of the Porte de l'Europe. This seemed the only sensible way to carry it. So it is, for podcast listeners, a baguette strapped to a top tube with what look like watch straps.
So these are volet straps?
Oh, okay.
They're kind of...
Of course you know that. What do you use them for, Connor? Well, I strap gubbins to my bike. Like French bread.
They're brilliant straps. They're like the best straps you can get my bike back in, strapping gubbins. Remarkable use for them.
Presumably, you're loving this because they've strapped something to a bike.
And it involves food as well, so it's like a double win. But this is great.
You've got to have quite a big bike, I suspect, to get a full baguette strapped to the top tube. My only hesitation, Connor, is the chafing. Okay? Baguettes can be quite abrasive. Aggressive.
That is true.
It's aggressive bread, okay? It's not called pain for nothing. I have a feeling that unless you've got particularly like a splayed knee out pedaling position, you're gonna get rubbed raw, on your French bread.
I've thought of a good reason why this is a hack though, because you're gonna save money.
Why?
Well, you're just going to season the bread yourself.
Oh, that's rank. You mean just sweaty bread?
It's like recycling.
Like that myth about the early days of cycling where they used to stick a steak down their cycling shorts for comfort during stages and then they'd eat it at night because it was well seasoned. Well, so the legends have it.
That makes me shudder.
We haven't ever done that GCN video, have we?
No.
Ollie fancies himself as a gourmet. Let's put it his way. Right, now, what are we saying then? I think I'm going to go bodge because of my fears of chafage.
Oh, I'm going hack. I'm doing that. I'm doing that one. That's right. I'm going to put some cheese in that.
There we go. All right, thanks for that one, Will. What's next, Connor?
Yes, this has been sent in by Peter, Headset Tarantula. Looking for a fix for sweating my headset on outdoor rides, I used my daughter's 3D pen to make this detachable cover. It looks like a hairy spider, but does the trick.
Oh my days. Now, first of all, I did not know that 3D pens.
No, I was about to say that. No.
But I feel like you've You've made the, can I be frank? You've made the ugliest possible solution to this very minor problem. I mean, that, like, it looks like, I don't know whether I can say this on the GCN show, it looks like he's shaved off a load of pubes and just stuck them to the top of his, I mean, it does, like.
It kind of looks, yeah, I was going to say it looks like you poured acid on your bike and it's gone and melted.
Yeah.
But the pubes are another way of looking at it.
I don't know why that's, like, sweating your headset's a thing. Especially outdoors.
I mean, it does the job.
Does it do the job? It looks like quite a permeable
yeah, okay.
surface as well.
I'm sorry, Peter. It's a good try, but I'm going to bodge.
Yeah, sorry, I'm bodging that one as well. Right, let's see if Gary's 8564 can come up with the goods. Custom GCN shadow stand. As a rabid fan, I decided to submit my bike to the bike vault. GCN's currently out of stock of shadow stands. I know that. So I decided to create my own and cut it out of some spare acrylic on my CNC machine. I even found a GCN logo online and carved it in. There you go.
Oh, that's really good.
That is super. I tell you what, yeah, you've done a cracking job with that. Look at that. Oh, look at the wider base as well. It's not just that, but he's actually... this is a spacer, he says, to make it the right height for my gravel bike. So I've glued it on with some super glue.
There we go.
He says, I can't decide whether it's a hack or a bodge. I think it's a hack, basically.
I think that's a hack.
Yeah, nice. I mean, we don't all have CNC machines with which to make custom shadow stands, but there you go. I like that.
Nice one. Right, Bart sent this in. Custom bottle cage for a Camelback Eddie.
Sorry, we do have the original pedal supporting shadow stands back in stock, apparently. But we're currently out of the bottom bracket supporting photographer's editions. So there we go.
Yeah, we're not sure who we're going to blame that on.
No.
Probably me.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Let's just blame Connor. Right, okay. Next
moving
up.
On. But Custom Bottle Cage sent this one in for a Camelback Eddy 1 litre. I was going on a long bike ride with my student association on a very warm day, so I wanted to bring my favourite water bottle. But my Camelback Eddy didn't fit in any of my standard bottle cages, so I designed my own. It held up great and worked really well. It's 3D printed out of PETG and survived the one-day trip of 290 kilometres.
Love it.
That's
like,
great, yeah.
Like, that is fantastic. A custom 3D printed water bottle cage. To allow you to tell you what, more water, Connor. A litre per cage.
Yeah.
You feeling a little bit like...
Well, I could get 3 of those on my bike. I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
There you go.
3 litre capacity.
Plus your 3 litre Camelback. So 6 litres of water, you'd be sloshing around.
Yeah, that would do me for a few hours.
2, probably, isn't it? There you go. No, I think that's a hack from both of us, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, we've got time for one final quick hack. This is from Paul G. A highly visible rear light. I wanted a super bright rear light for daytime use, so I bought a front light and then stuck a bit of red transparent tape over it and have mounted it at the back. Which, to be fair, I didn't realise that rear lights weren't bright enough, but there you go. That's a way of getting a turbocharged light, isn't it?
Yeah. That's a great idea.
It is a good idea.
Really good idea.
Do you think it's legal?
I'm not sure, but it could be quite dazzling. I guess that's why red rear lights are a bit lower.
I don't know, but this is we're probably
outside of our comfort zone. Yeah.
Exactly, but in principle, I like it.
Yeah.
So that is cool. Well done, Paul. That's a hack.
That's a hack.
A pending hack. Depending on whether you've broken any laws,
it's a hack for me because I'm going to put some of those red bits of tape in my bag, just at the bottom, just in case your back light runs out of battery. You can put the front one on the back. It's like a little hack to get you home.
But what would you do if you wouldn't have a front light then? Why don't you just have a spare light in your bag? You've got enough space, Connor. Jesus. Right. Please keep submitting your hacks and bodges. We do enjoy this part of the show. It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle, the type that fits in a conventional water bottle cage and does not require 3D printing. But anyway, there you go. Absolute beauty. All you've got to do to win with a shout is to put a witty caption in the comment section down below that relates to a photo we will give you in just 1 second after we've done the results from last week.
Yep. So last week, now this, I think there's a lot of options here. But the winner that I've gone for, Jim Portner, 8364. In an effort to further improve rider safety, the UCI has implemented mandatory on-bike breathalyzer testing.
I like that. Yeah, that is quite good.
That's a good one. Get in touch, Jim. Get a bottle on its way to you.
Do we know whether he is actually... What is he doing? Is he sucking something out of his handlebars?
I actually think he is. I reckon he... Well, it's hard to tell.
It is hard to tell.
It is hard to tell.
Maybe his chin was feeling tired and it needed a rest. Anyway, there we go. Next up... Ooh, what next up? What am I talking about? This is the photo that we're giving you for this week. Which is what exactly, Connor?
So this is Alexander Vlasov of Bora Hansgrohe, Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, at the Tour de Suisse on stage 8. Rather remarkable kind of individual time trial location, this one. It's absolutely stunning.
It is pretty good, isn't it? And that, Connor, to my mind, is a water bottle that will require 3D printing because it looks enormous.
It does look big, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a very ingenious way of carrying extra gubbins.
Is that your caption?
Yeah, I'll go with that.
There's your caption. Well done, Connor. Knocked it out of the park there, mate. Alexander Vlasov debuts ingenious gubbins carrying system. How is that? I mean, obviously it's not actually stuck to him, but imagine if it was. Or it actually looks a little bit like it's a picture printed onto the side of his skin suit.
It does, doesn't it? I mean, it's also one of those kind of... Is it a juxtaposition? Is that the word? I don't know. Is the bottle being thrown at him or is he throwing the bottle?
It's a good question.
It's like one of those things that drives
the photographer
the
is basically one of those fans that's just lobbed a bottle at him. Yeah. Right, there we go. Anyway, get involved in the comments section down below. See if you can do better than Connor. Which, given how much effort you put into that, I suggest you probably can.
Next up, we've got comments of the week. I'll tell you what, it's an absolute joy to go through some of the comments on videos from last week. There's some absolutely cracking ones in there. And thank you so much to everyone who's been writing underneath our videos. It always means a lot. And to read through them all is just it's great because there were some brilliant ones last week.
It was really cool, yeah. I mean, it's always cool, isn't it? But a particular highlight this week, Alex's Unbound video.
Yeah.
Was finally released to, you know, finally released. It was a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it? But if you watch it, you'll see why, because we worked blooming hard on that one. Anyway, Noah Stevens said, Alex just comes across as a wholesome guy. He deserves all the layabout Dura-Ace he gets. But isn't that cool? Basically saying, yeah, man, you're a nice guy. You deserve a drawer full of brand new Dura-Ace cranks.
Yeah, nice one. And Samuel Black Metal Rider, love the name. No puncture and no mechanicals is wild. Congrats on a sub 10 hours and hats off GCN for the excellent coverage.
Oh, that's super cool, isn't it? Yeah.
Thanks,
Samuel. And it is pretty impressive. Testaments to Alex's nerdery. Think that he got away scot-free. And then Sepster58, who is a GCN member as well, so thanks for that, gave us a super thanks. He said, this was one of the best GCN videos I've watched in a long time. Kudos to the editors for putting this one together, but also for Alex. Your perseverance and determination to finish, along with all that training you endured, made for one epic journey. So you didn't get in the top 20, but to finish sub 10 hours is admirable. Coffee on me. That's super cool, isn't it?
Amazing. So yeah,
thank you very much for that one. That's amazing. Meanwhile, slightly less epic was our Stone Age gravel.
Yeah, a lot of fun though.
It was a lot of fun,
beautiful
yeah.
route. The first comment been sent in by SPDS3FM. I'm going to kind of get this petition in. The GCN shop should be renamed Connor's Gubbins. Connor's Gubbins, welcome
nice.
To my shop.
I can just imagine it'd be like you opening up a jacket and it's just like GCN merch hanging on the inside. Yeah. What font would we use for Connor's Gubbins? That's the question. It would definitely need to...
I think a font that evokes natural feelings of carrying luggage.
I reckon it'd be really like oldie-worldy, curly font. Just as completely inappropriate for this day and age. That's what you
very
get.
True,
either that or Comic Sans. Connor's Gubbins! Right, okay. Damien Smith Design said that our Stone Age gravel was the spirit of gravel. He's watched from Australia and already adding it to the bucket list. Getting to places you'd never reach in a car or on a road bike. Doing it with mates and just exploring. Salisbury Plain Stone Age look absolutely incredible. They are actually, genuinely. So yeah, thanks Damien. If you come over this way, I don't think you'll be disappointed.
No. Bike and dog trips virtual cycling. We got another limerick. Here we go. Here we go. You ready for it? On summer solstice with skies like a sea, cyclist Si rode where the gravel roads be. With massive sunglasses, he dashed through the grasses, past Stonehenge, so grand. What a sight to see.
Nice. I'm particularly liking the tenuous rhyming of sunglasses and grasses. But I'll let you go with that one. We've got a few more GCN limericks tucked away in our back pockets for a rainy day, haven't we?
But
not today, not today. Charlie Rudder said, more of this, please. Even the poetry. So clearly he wasn't put off by William Blake.
No.
I don't think anyone has ever called William Blake horny before, but anyway.
It just had that feel to it.
Yeah, underneath the look at the Endurace All Road that we were talking about earlier on.
Chones?
Chones says, I knew there was a reason I liked Si. We're both Love Island fans.
There we go.
Yeah, nice.
Intrepid Scotland 8091. I think this is a bike I've been looking for. I've been out cycling for decades and this might do it, especially through the Bike to Work scheme. So thank you guys.
That's so cool. If that bike gets people back into cycling, then that's amazing. Yeah. Joe Boyce said, it's great to see GCN making this content. Not everyone wants high-end bikes or components. We just want bikes that are nice to ride, easy to maintain. There you go. Kind of the same thing with partners, apparently. So... Joe! Oh, you had to go there, Joe.
That's a really... Oh, Joe, that comment tickled me. I snuck it in, so I didn't see it.
Right. I think we should leave the GCN show there for this week. All that's left is to tell you what's coming up on the channel, which is, well, head over to GCN Tech, actually, because it's Eurobike this week, so absolutely stacks of hot new tech. And then we've also got a couple of bangers for you on GCN this weekend, which is one, Lloydie is doing a bit of an exploration of Tadej Pogačar's new seated climbing style.
I'm nearly recovered.
And we've also uncovered Europe's 100 kilometre long climb. So anyway, Ollie Bridge will want to check that one out, along with some of our Euro colleagues.
Thanks for watching, everyone. Sorry.